On the Table, Topics for Toastmasters, a podcast production of Toastmasters District 10. You asked for it, and we're giving it to you. When I posted my questionnaire in the podcast notes at onthetablepodcast.com/survey, I asked what you listeners wanted On the Table topics for Toastmasters to focus on. The answer was loud and clear: advanced manual reviews. I frequently confuse the special occasion speeches manual with the specialty speeches manual. Both of these manuals cover unique situations that a speaker might have to face. Today, I'm interviewing Debbie Curtis of District 10. She's a DTM, a past district governor, club officer, and almost everything else, and my friend. We spent some time at her kitchen table talking about the special occasion speeches advanced manual. I admit, she surprised me during this interview when she talked about how speeches develop leadership skills. This is On the Table, Topics for Toastmasters, a podcast production of District 10 Toastmasters International. We're here to help Toastmasters advance with advice, tips, and hacks to earn the Distinguished Toastmaster Award. I'm your host, Kim Craggy, DTM. We're here today with Debbie Curtis. We're talking in her kitchen about the Special Occasion Speech Manual. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great tonight.
Good. Why do you like this manual?
I like this manual because it has so many different kinds of speeches. Mm-hmm. And they're speeches that we typically don't do very often. So having a little bit of practice on doing some of these speeches is what we all need.
Okay. Did you have a special event that you were doing that you decided to pick this manual up?
Actually, no. But as I picked the manual up, I realized how great this could be for anybody at any age.
Mm-hmm.
Not only someone getting having children getting married, that's where you're doing the toast and all of that, but also where you're having to give awards to people at work and that. To me, this was a really good practice manual for those types of things.
What was your favorite project?
My favorite project is the roast. And I'll tell you why. Because the roast, there's really an art to doing a roast. And so I had more fun doing the research for the roast. So I went online and pulled up all of those Dean Martin roasts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Johnny Carson, when they would do the roasts of the presidents and all of that. And I found that so interesting. And their sense of humor was so witty. And I think that's a lost art. And so for me, that was the best part about that, was to do the research, to figure out what to talk about someone.
Who did you roast?
I roasted the gentleman that I'm going to be presenting at our DTM ceremony, John Fitzgerald.
Okay. Was he prepared for this? Did you warn him in advance?
Yes, I did.
Do you think that everybody should warn their victim? I mean, roasted person.
I think they should.
Yeah.
And the reason why is, if you were to go to a meeting and to do this without someone being prepared, they might be caught off a little off guard. And I think it's important that you ask their permission, that they don't mind that you say some things that may be a little harassing or a little embarrassing, and because that's kind of what a roast is.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of poking fun and then having fun with someone. You need to make sure that person has a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen the roast done, so I'm kind of curious about how it flowed for you.
Up front, it was a little clunky, but once I got into it,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun with it.
Good. And John was okay with...
He laughed. He sat in his chair and laughed. And I think everybody else was kind of taken off guard because it seemed like I was maybe making fun of him until they understood that I was actually doing a roast.
How did you prepare the audience for this?
Well, I prepared an introduction,
mm-hmm.
that told the audience that I would be doing a roast. and told them who was the victim of the roast and what the occasion was.
Right. We don't see these done very often. I've always had a sense that there was a very mean spirit behind some of these that I have seen. You mentioned Dean Martin. Well, the man died 30 years ago. Did you find any current examples of roasting?
Actually, not really. I'm not sure why they don't do it anymore.
Do you think that maybe audiences don't appreciate that style of humor anymore? Don Rickles has been dead a long time, too.
Right. However, depending on the occasion, you would not do this to someone that was younger. But if someone was retiring and you were doing a roast for them, they would appreciate that.
That's a good point that you're using it at a specific event. I never really thought about the roast being an event, but that really is what it is. So what was your next favorite?
My next favorite was mastering the toast. That's something that we all need to learn how to do, and I've not learned how to do very well. And in fact, just how you pick up the glass mm-hmm. and how you get the audience to do the toast. Now, it's only a couple minutes long, mm-hmm. but it's really important. There's kind of certain, how shall I say, etiquette involved with how you do a toast.
Right. And who did you toast?
I toasted my former boss, Mark Melvin.
And this was on a specific occasion, or you just decided to...
He was part of our club. Mm-hmm. And then again, I also needed to have someone that I could have a little fun with, as someone that had a sense of humor.
I think that most commonly we now see toasts as part of the whole wedding scenario. And that's probably why most people have picked up this program, or that's probably why most people have picked up this manual, is because I got to give a toast.
Right. Now, this last weekend, I will tell you, I went to a wedding. I wish they hadn't seen the manual. people get a little too personal. You have an audience, you have 200-300 people sitting there, and some of those inside jokes mm-hmm. really go well for maybe the rehearsal dinner, but as a wedding party toast, and then when you get past 5 minutes, no one's listening anyway. Everyone is wanting to drink. I think that there's a, you know, or they'll get up there and they'll read a letter. I think that the more spontaneous that you are, people feel more that you're genuine. And I think that's, you need to be authentic with that one.
The next one is called Speaking in Praise. That's number 2 project. What did you do with that?
Speaking in Praise, what I did for a coworker. And I didn't really do presenting an award, but I did, you know, make some comments that were nice. You know, you can do that as an introduction too. Mm-hmm. So I think I did an introduction for a speech introduction.
Oh.
So it was a very praise. So when the person got up, it was very, they came up to feeling really good because mm-hmm. I had just given them all this praise.
Yeah. How do you not go overboard?
When people start to roll their eyes, you know you've gone overboard. I think that as long as you're genuine, people mm-hmm. are okay. When you lavish too much praise, it feels fake, it feels phony. Mm-hmm.
When you're writing the speech, how did you find that place?
I thought about it as, what would I think if somebody said that to me? And would I roll my eyes? Mm-hmm. And if I would roll my eyes, I wouldn't say it.
Have you found that you apply what you learned from this at work?
Absolutely, I did.
So this is a very, very practical project.
And speaking in praise, you think about it, if you are a supervisor, there's always an opportunity to give some praise. And so the way that you learn how to do it so that it comes across the way you want it to, mm-hmm. So that it provides the proper motivation, this can help you with that.
We also have presenting an award.
Now, there is a kind of a little bit of an art and etiquette to presenting an award that I hadn't really thought about until I did this project. Presenting an award is something that needs to be a little formal in the fact that you introduce the person, why they're getting the award, some of the accomplishments of the person. So it is really kind of lavishing praise on someone, but it's more of an introduction for that person. Mm-hmm. Because that person then gets up and accepts the award, and then they have to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's an introduction also.
And then we have accepting an award.
Now, accepting an award is probably my least favorite project. And the reason why is I would like to consider myself maybe a little bit of a humble person, and I have a hard time. I don't mind listening to praise for other people or giving other people mm-hmm. praise. I just kind of blush.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got to think of something to say to, you know, and accepting an award, it's not about you as much as it is about, you need to make sure you recognize all of the people that have helped you to get that award. And you need to make sure that everyone's included. So when you see the Oscars and you get up there and they have the whole list of people they have to thank, including their dog sitter and their housekeeper and everyone involved, you don't have to go that far. But
right.
yet you do need to give proper credit to those people either giving you the award or those people who helped you.
Right. Overall, how would you rate this manual?
I've done this manual twice.
Really?
Yes, I've done this manual twice, and not because the speeches are short, because I think that there's some technique that is very important for us to learn, and very important for me to learn if I want to be a good leader. These are things that people don't normally think about that they need to do, and these are not things that come natural for me, and so mm-hmm. I wanted to go through and do the book twice to make sure that I got the principles mm-hmm. so that I understood how I need to do it.
You're the first person who's ever talked about a speech manual teaching them leadership skills. That's a really different take on a manual, because while we say that Toastmasters are where leaders are made and that we have a leadership track and we're focused on leadership, I always thought of them as being rather distinct in practice, although in real life they're very closely bonded together. But you actually say these speeches have leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because of all of these things, these are things where you are providing insight, praise, feedback to other people. And if you can do this in the right way, in the right fashion, it can motivate them or it can make them unmotivated. And it can make me think more positively about people. When I have to give a speech that praises someone, I need to think about that. Mm-hmm. And what is about this person that I want to highlight? When I have to get up tomorrow to present John as a DTM, what do I want to present? What do I want to tell people about John? What are the positive things that I want them to hear? And so it makes you think about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's what motivates other people when they hear that kind of stuff. Other people in the audience, they think, wow, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, you know, maybe I should talk more like that. And so it's like setting example, and I take it pretty serious.
Thank you so much for your time, Debbie. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
I think of Debbie Curtis as one of my most important mentors. When I spend time with her, I'm a better person. She teaches me by her example. Toastmasters is strong on mentorship. That's why in District 10, we have a mentorship program for members who are working on their DTMs. This entire podcast exists to help you achieve your DTM goals. We want to help others do the same. One way you can help us out on this is to go to iTunes and give us a review, or leave a note on our website, onthetablepodcast.com, of ways we can improve. We can all use a good evaluation. Our music is from incompetech.com. Meeting adjourned.